Guys who surf like crap, but have their smoking hot girlfriends film them on the beach. Are they dumb, insane, or both? Today on the Surfing Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Surfing Podcast. My name is Dan Bialik. I am your host. Thank you so much for listening, tuning in, and or clicking play on whatever app that you're using to hear this on. All right, let's jump into the show. Today we're going to cover, I met my first listener of the show in person today, which is amazing. I'll talk all about that. We'll talk about Gabriel Medina's social media and PR transformation, as far as I'm concerned, today as well. The water temps here in Southern California, which have been going up and down. And I got a, we've got a question from a listener in New Zealand about the pandemic as it pertains to surf travel and or localism and here and abroad. So we'll also talk about some other stuff, including embarrassing surf stories from the world of me surfing. My best, which is a 3 out of 10 on any scale here in beautiful Southern California the last couple of weeks. Let's get into it. Again, if you haven't already, as I always plug at the beginning of the show, I didn't used to, but I do now because people actually do it, and that's super cool of you, so thank you very much. But if you haven't already, please go into iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and a nice review saying what you like about the show or about, I don't know, other describe your favorite burrito for all I care. But give us a positive review because it helps other people find the show, and it's been helping. Having that shout out at the beginning of the show, actually every time we drop a show or an episode, we get you can't really tell more subscribers online, but we definitely get more listens as it goes up, and we pick up more Instagram followers. We're on Instagram at the Surfing Podcast. So that's the only ad or the plug for our plug for this week. So just do that. Just get onto it. All right, let's talk about meeting a fan, or I don't, that's not a fan. Meeting a person who listens to this podcast is a better way to phrase it. If you've been following the podcast for the past few weeks or a few months, it's been summertime here. I've been waiting for new boards from my shaper, the amazing Tim Stamps here in Orange County, California, but he's backed up. And his production pipeline is clogged. Not clogged, but he just has a bunch of orders because everybody took their COVID money, their $1,200 and bought a bunch of boards, and then everyone else is buying boards. Because I imagine they're picturing feast and famine and, you know, riots in the streets and the world on fire come this fall / winter, and they won't be able to get boards. So everyone's stockpiling boards, I feel, and I'm one of them. But I had bought a couple boards off Craigslist, and if you go back to the episode, you can listen how to get a good deal on a board in Craigslist and how to do it the best way. That's the service that we offer here at the Surfing Podcast. There's not... You get a little bit. You get some stories, some anecdotes, some light to moderate cussing. Probably when your kid's in the car, you're going to feel like a dick for playing this stupid thing. But you also get tidbits of information. So I put a board on sale on Craigslist this week. It was the DHD Duck Nuts, or the DNA, which they renamed it, because I think Duck Nuts was probably a harder sell or harder to run ads on because it has the word nuts in it. But it was a 6'2". Bought it a couple months ago for summer while I was waiting to get boards. The boards that I ordered are almost done. I've got a regular shortboard and a groveler coming. So I was selling the DHD because I rode it the least. It was in brand new condition. It looked the same as when I bought it 2 months ago, because it's been in my garage or, you know, bobbing around in the water of the pier for 1 to 2 hours at a time and then nowhere else. So I put it on Craigslist. And again, I told you how to buy on Craigslist, but how to sell on Craigslist, same thing. The best technique I have for selling a board on Craigslist is what you want to do. I strip all the wax off like you would normally. Strip it down. I usually do it on my driveway when it's hot, you know, outside, so it's easier to get it off. Strip it off. If you have one of those green pickle things, if you ever bought one, I think they're like $10 at surf shops or online. I kind of scoffed at it when I first saw it. You can make your own of this, but it's worth it. I've had mine for at least 6 years, so $10 divided by six, it's like less than 50 cents a year to have this thing. But it's this green scratchy stretchy thing that looks about the size of a pickle but bloated, about as big around as, like, I don't know, more than a golf ball, but a pickle, that an obese pickle is what it looks like. But it's filled with the shaping dust from the ground of I believe foam and foam dust from the floor of like a shaping factory or shaping area is what it feels like, that comes out. But it's this dust, and you rub it on your surfboard after you've stripped the wax down, when there's just like the slight streaks in wax or whatever that's left over, and it sticks to that wax, and then you scrub it harder, and then it takes the wax off. It works great. It's kind of like the poor man's version of this. And again, $10 a year, or $10 for 5 years. It's really both of the poor man's version. Is what you can do if you live by the beach or you go to the beach and it's warm. You can put your board on the, strip your wax at the beach, and then get a light dusting of the top sand, the lighter, like thinner sand, and put that on top of your board. Let the sun melt it for like 5 minutes and then scrape it off your fingertips. That works well too. But the pickle thing, and I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode. The pickle, I think it's called like the pickle Surf Pickle or whatever, and I'm sure there's knockoff ones by now, but it's $8 or $10, and I was like, this is bullshit, and I bought it online like 5 years ago on a whim, and I've had it forever, and the dust is like kind of, you know, falling out, and it used to be this like plump firm pickle, and now it's a sad wilted shell of what it used to be, but it's still super usable. I probably get another year or two uses out of it, so good deal for that. But anyway, strip your wax, use the pickle thing, clean it off. Then once it's clean, if you're going to sell it, what I usually do is I like to get a paper towel, and I'll put either acetone acetone or Goo Gone. I usually use Goo Gone because acetone isn't great for resin. Get some Goo Gone, wipe down any streaks or anything you got on it. If you have any dings, obviously fix the dings or put it in the ad. I always just fix the dings because if you don't fix a ding, you're selling a board of the ding that people are going to like make you drop the price a bunch. Just fix it if you can, or be prepared to lose like, you know, $50, because ding repair is super expensive. Like, even for small dings, if it's two small like quarter size dings on the bottom of your board, any ding repair place is going to charge you like $20 a piece, so $40, you know. And if it's a reputable place like a shop, they charge tax. You're looking at $40-$50 for two small dings. Learn how to fix dings yourself in an upcoming episode, and maybe even like, I'm on the fence, there'll be blog posts with pictures, possibly videos, which I don't want to do because I'm embarrassed of doing a video. I just feel like that's over the top, but we'll do some ding repair videos coming up, or at least blogs in a couple episodes, mention it more in depth in an episode. Fix the dings. So strip the wax, purple or green pickle it off, get all the wax off, then wipe it down, fix the dings. When you use the pickle thing, it's going to make little flakes of like kind of chunked up wax that will stick to your traction pad. Just get a microfiber cloth. And then you're like, what's that? Just those real soft cloths you need to wipe down to wipe down the monitor on your computer. We have a bag of them in the garage. I got like a bag of like 25 for like $15 on Amazon or Home Depot, I forget where, but we use them for cleaning the house and cleaning our cars. They're like, you know, a foot by a foot. Get one of those, steal one from your mom or her garage if you don't have one yourself. But you can wipe down in the coolness, not in the sun, but in the shade, wipe down the traction pad with the microfiber. That will take the little wax flakes off, and then your traction pad will be as good as it is. I sold the board today, had a really new traction pad on it. I could have cleaned it probably a little bit if I would have like put it in the sun and wiped it down, but it's like, this is a black one with a green trim, but it was good enough. It was clean, and the pads stuck on there really good, and it's new, so I didn't feel like doing that. But that's it. So you clean the board off. I know I talk fast, guys. I'll take it down. So strip the wax, pickle it, wipe it down with Goo Gone on a paper towel, then wipe off the traction pad with a microfiber thing. And then, like I said, fixing dings should be separate. So that's the steps. Then what you want to do is you just want to take a few good pictures of the board, but not too many. Do not take 80 pictures of your surfboard. It is not going to help you at all. I used to do this. I used to take pictures, like put it up against a wall, take a picture of the top, the bottom, put it on its side, shoot from the side on each rail to show the rocker and the rails, shoot the bottom of the board at an angle, the bottom of the top of the board at an angle, shoot the other way, shoot between the fins to show the fin boxes were good, shoot the whatever the, you know, the listing was for the, you know, where the shaper writes on the stringer or the tail or they write with the dimensions. I used to do all that shit. I don't do any of that anymore, and I never have problems. I sell boards with way less questions and way quicker. In fact, we'll get to writing the listing in a second, but I cut and pasted the listing from the guy that sold the board to me previously because it was just such a simple listing, and it had a thing in there that really helped me out that we're going to get to. For the listing, just put like, you know, the length of the board, 6'2", surfboard, and then I put like hyphen DHD DNA model, you know. That's all you have to put. Don't put brand new surfboard, like new, works like magic. I've written really funny Craigslist descriptions before. The board didn't sell any quicker, and actually it was kind of a magnet for like oddball people, like that were more like just emailing to see if it was a goof. Or one of the few times I had people come to look at a board and not actually buy it was when I wrote one of the funny ones. Like, oh, I just thought it was funny. I just want to come like, check it out. Like, I don't know, the person wanted to meet me or see if we could become bros or maybe lovers. I don't know. But he didn't buy the board. It was fucking annoying. So not jokey. So just length of the board, that it's a short board, or, you know, I always put 6'2 surfboard. You can put short board, but a surfboard's more searchable. I think it shows up better in the search, you know, the listing. If it's a long board or whatever, put that in the listing. Surfboard is surfboard. If it's a 9.0 surfboard, they're going to know it's a gun or it's a long board, and they're going to see from the picture that's featured. Just do that. So length, surfboard, hyphen, model, and shaper, the board if it fits. Then in the description, just say, this is a, and then I usually put what condition, like super good condition, such and such board, 6'2". It has, you know, a traction pad and feature fins. And my boards, I usually turn around and sell pretty quickly. Like, I keep my boards for like, I don't know. I have usually three or four boards in my garage at a time, and I switch them out pretty good. But when I sell boards, I usually try and keep my boards like pretty pristine, and I sell those. Ones that I ding up a lot, I don't usually sell those. You don't get as much money, and it's a pain in the ass. But I'm usually, you know, I describe what the board is. It's in really good shape. You know, usually my description is like no dings and a few minor pressures on the deck, and that's really what my boards usually have. If there's anything else, if there's one or two pressures that aren't too big, just be like, board's in good condition. Come check it out. Because if you're going to list every little thing, it's like taking the pictures. People don't freaking care. They're either going to buy the board or they're not. So I like to set up my board just with an iPhone or your digital phone, your digital camera and your phone is fine. I set it up against a wall, usually in a corner. I set it up in the shade, usually in front of, I posted a picture on our Instagram where I said I was the king of mise-en-scène for Craigslist postings. You put it in a corner. That way it won't blow over. If you put it on the side of your house and it's windy in the afternoons, it's going to blow over. If you put it in the blazing sun, then it's going to wash out and the board's going to look way too white and it's going to look like you faked the picture. I like to put it in the shade next to like maybe a wooden fence or a concrete fence, so you have the gray or the brown, because it'll contrast the board and show how white it is. You know, that's what you want to do. And I wouldn't go in and touch it up and make it whiter or brighter, because again, when the person comes to buy it, they're going to see whether it's a yellow piece of shit. If it's a yellow piece of shit, let them know in the picture. Don't write it in words. Show them the picture. But I get one really clear picture, you know, full resolution of the flat, you know, the board up against the wall, flat, filling the whole frame. You know, there's no negative space, just the nose and the tail are touching the bottom of the frame. Then I flip it over, do the same in the bottom. Then I take a picture of the dimensions, and that those are the three pictures I use. I don't put up all the other pictures anymore. If someone emails and says, oh, can I get more pictures? You're selling the board locally, unless you're shipping it. I only sell them locally. I'm not shipping anything. Just say, hey, you can come check out the board this week if you want. Like, you know, whatever. Like, because you're just... If you go down that trail and get into the quagmire of like, well, can you describe the board a little more in depth, or you can send a video, you're just going to be taking pictures and going back and forth about this guy and quibbling, and then he's going to have all this shit in his head about buying the board. And like, well, you said it had a pressure on the deck, and then you mentioned another pressure. Like, two pictures plus the dimensions picture, and then just put it up. And then I usually just put the length, the width, the thickness, and the liters, and that is, I leave it at that. And, you know, cash only, no deliveries, and that's all. I'll cut and paste the listing for the board that I just sold on the thing, and I usually list the board at a maximum price that I'd like to get for it, but then I give it a little wiggle room. I usually list it like 10 or 20% more than I'll accept. That way, if somebody want, like, if you're selling a board for $400 and someone wants to knock off, like, you know, you're like, oh, 10%, they'll be like $40 off for $360. So if you want to sell a board for $350, sell it for $400, you know, sell it for $50 more, and then you can knock it off, so you're not dicking someone over. And that's about it. That's my advice. But I'll cut and paste. I'll put a picture of the actual listing I used. I sold the board today. In the show description today. But just be fair, and if you're, I don't know, safety first, don't have people come to your house. Like, I usually have people come to my work, which the guy today, I had to come to my work, just was up here at the theater trying to do some shit, and I knew I had to record an episode. But yeah, I don't know, it's hit or miss. Like, I always like to email back and forth, and then when they want your number, don't give them your phone number. Say, like, if they're going to pick up, if they're going to come check the board out tomorrow, say, like, at 5 o'clock, say, hey, email me at noon tomorrow just to confirm, and then I'll give you my number. Because it's an election year, and we live in a garbage country, and other garbage countries are bothering us as well online, and there's trolls and whatever else. As soon as I put up a board a few weeks ago that I was selling, a different board, I got three responses like, oh, I'll come to buy the board right now. What's your phone number? And I emailed them back saying, oh, hey, come check it out this afternoon. What time's good for you? They didn't respond. They were phishing scam people from Russia or Belarus or Louisiana or who knows where, that were like phishing, trying to get my phone number, probably to, you know, scam me or spam me or add me to some database of idiots or whatever. So be a little bit leery. I use the Craigslist relay thing, and like I said, the day of, I'll say, you know, email me at noon, or like, you know, 3 to 5 hours before, then I'll give them the text number. Then I usually will meet them at a, you know, Starbucks or, you know, Coffee Bean parking lot, or at work if you can, and have someone be there and let them know, let the person, your family, your loved ones know where you're going, just in case. I don't want to get kidnapped or murdered. Today, I didn't get kidnapped or murdered, by the way, because I had a listener, this kid, Sam, who lives locally, and he's listened to the podcast and commented on our stuff or whatever, liked stuff on Instagram before, but you know, I don't creep on your guys' Instagram or look at your lives. I'm giving you privacy because I respect you all, but I recognize the name, and he came by, and he was a young kid. I don't know how old he was, because I'm not a kid. I'm like, how old are you, kid? Get in the van. Like, I don't know, 19 to 23 probably, but a young kid, and skinnier than me. So the DHD board, which actually is not as floaty as it could be for me, because I'm kind of a fat bastard. Tall, skinny kid, DHD board is going to work great for him. But he bought the board, I chit-chatted with him for a little bit, but I had a mask on because, you know, COVID and all that. And I'm like, hey, man, fucking, there's a force field because you listen to my podcast. No, I don't be a dick and put the kid in a weird position. Sold him the board, gave him a free Amazing Comedy Theater t-shirt because we're at the theater. And we had the display cases are still in the front of this goddamn theater. And we still have merchandise we're not selling. So I gave him a free t-shirt, bullshitted with him. But yeah, super nice kid. Hope the board works great for him. It was funny. After he bought the board and, he was getting ready to say goodbye or whatever, he's like, is this the board that you used for that rescue last week on the episode? And yes, he bought the famous DHD board from the pier. Wannabe Instagram girl rescue episode, which is, like I said, undinged because of my chivalry by jamming my goddamn foot into the pier. So if you didn't get that story, listen to last week's episode. I sound like I'm really going to do something in the beginning and save someone's life. And by the end of the episode, you're like, that fucking idiot did nothing. That's my life, guys. But yeah, nice to meet Sam. I rarely want to meet or talk to any people new or otherwise in my life, but it was a nice thing to meet another person that seemed to be on the same wavelength as me, even though I'm 10,000 years older than him, and he probably watches, listens to the podcast ironically, and goes, get a load of this idiot. I met him in real life. He's sad. Also, I was wearing a Boba Fett t-shirt and in bright red fucking dad shorts because that's what I was doing wearing around the house today, so probably thinks that I'm a fashion, plate as well. So good for him. All right. Speaking of goofy, stupid people, no, not really. This guy's one of the greatest champions of our sport. How dare I say that? I have really been enjoying the last couple weeks. Not so much this week. He's been a little bit mellower, but last couple weeks. Gabriel Medina, and I'm going to look him up here on Instagram real quick. Remember when he came out and no one liked him and thought he's a big crybaby and a jerk and all this stuff? And I was one of those people. This guy has really turned it around. On social media, he did some posts this week or last week or the week before that I got such a kick out of. Basically, he's, it's downtime, and it looked like he was working out and bulking up, and then it looked like he got a little bit fat, and he's probably shredded. Dude, the kid's young. You can shred down in like 2 weeks when you're a kid. And just eat and drink and do whatever you want. It's so great. But he posted a thing. It was like an ad for Corona where he looks like he went skimboarding. He's in a full suit, skimboarding by some mangroves or wherever he's at. But he's on his board, like side cross leg, holding a Corona. And it's a Corona ad. But it's the dorkiest fucking picture. He's like faces in profile with his chin sticking out. It's like he's got the dorkiest face and he's skimboarding in a full suit or he's toe surfing behind a boat in a full suit, which is the dorkiest shit, holding a beer. It's an ad. It's the dorkiest ad I've ever seen, and it's so fucking cool. I love it. I love that he's like, oh, I got to do a picture, and maybe the Corona people were like, hey, we got this picture for this ad. Can you and your filmer guy go out and grab this, or we'll send a photographer, or we'll pay for a day of you to rent a boat to do this thing or whatever, But he posts this goofy picture, and I couldn't get enough of it. And then he posts some things of him skimboarding or of him surfing behind a boat on a shortboard, and then he does it where I think it's it's like him and his little sister is surfing behind the boat, and then him and his girlfriend surfing tandem. It's just hokey kind of dipshitty stuff that you do when you're a surfer, and I love it. And he's blowing kisses at the camera and stuff like a goofball. Like Gabriel Medina, whatever is going on in his life in the break from the COVID break right now from competition, is only making me like him. Everything he's ever done in a heat, I've never given a shit about, but a big fan of that. Super big fan, and now I will be watching. He's basically doing all the shit that made me like Italo. Italo's a goofy fucking guy that listens to fucking rap music and wears Timberlands and dyes his hair and shaves his head and does stupid shit and makes goofy Instagrams and doesn't give a fuck and does weird things on waves because he's super naturally talented, but will do like a backflip into a sliding 360 cutback, like whatever. Like Gabriel can do all that shit, but there was no goofiness or just boringness that he was putting out in the universe. Probably super goofy and fun at home, probably a good kid, but now that he's putting a little bit of flavor of that on the Instagram, I gotta give it to him. The first glimmer of that was earlier this year. Mick Fanning has a thing. I forget what it's called. I don't know who sponsors it. I'm sure he doesn't do it because he wouldn't be bothered to do this thing. It's a podcast, but it's like a video podcast interview show. It's called, I'm sorry, I'm typing it in. I should have done this before the show. Mick Fanning, what is it? He interviews John. I'll find it. Anyway, it's like a Skype interview show where it's moderated by a third party or some Australian dude or somebody, but it's Mick Fanning talking on Skype with people, and the people he interviews are freaking dope. It's like he interviews like John, Medina, and I don't know how many episodes there are of it. It's at least John and Medina, and it's like I think Stab sponsored it. Sorry, guys, that's super. It's been hot for 2 weeks here in California. Everyone's sweaty. It's not like so. Yeah, what is this video called? It's first they love you, then they hate you. It's like an interview show that he does with Skype. I'm clicking on this. It's called Unplugged with Mick Fanning. Okay, it's super good. The John John one's super good because they talk about basically how people love you when you're trying to be champ, and then once you get number one, everyone hates you. Sam McIntosh from Stab is the moderator. No offense to Sam McIntosh, but I just like the parts when the guys are talking. Like, it's funny because it's Mick and John John in the, you know, split in half in the split window, and then it's Sam McIntosh in the bottom left corner of the video. They're probably like, just watch them, make sure they don't say anything crazy or whatever, or in case they get boring. But like, Mick, super smart and interesting. John John seems super fucking, you know, for kids, super smart and interesting. And the Gabriel episode is very good. So I highly recommend checking out the Stab Unplugged, Mick Fanning interview, and the Stab Unplugged Medina interview. Like, they're cool. Like, I like shit like that because they're not trying to be badasses and they're not talking shit so much, but they're not being super overly correct and, like, being so guarded. You get to hear a little bit of the interview, and they show clips of heats and stuff. They talk about pro surfing moments that they've shared with each other, against each other, like pivotal points. They talk about bullshit, boards, pressure. It's super interesting. Like, normally stuff like that just makes my skin want to crawl and I want to throw up blood all over. I get my computer, which is, that's very extreme. Who's listening to a surfing podcast or watching a surf interview on YouTube and they get so upset they throw up? Maybe I don't throw up blood, but I get like I turn stuff like that off because it creeps me out. Whoa, in the first episode, you're talking, when Mick's interviewing John John, they're talking about training. There's like 5 seconds of slow-mo of Mick running shirtless in board shorts with shoes and socks on. So ladies, tune into that, I guess. Here, let me stop this. It's right in the background. It's distracting me. But yeah, highly recommend it. Super cool. But yeah, it shows a slice of Gabriel, and Mick is just talking up Gabriel Medina and what a great, and how he knew what a great guy he was for years, and it was so frustrating that it was portrayed in like the Western, you know, surf media is being like a dickhead when he's, you know, a dickhead in heats, but like there's tons of other guys that are dickheads in heats too. Like I said, a couple episodes I talked about the Hobgood the Hobgood documentary, and everyone was like, the Hobgoods are the biggest fucking assholes in heats in the world. They put chew your leg off and stab you to get a wave. So it's super interesting. So if you're looking for surf things to consume, Unplugged is really good. I wish that Mick would do that full time. I wish he'd record like 8 more episodes of this and release them over the next few months or whatever, because I like them very much. But he's a fucking, you know, multiple-time world champion doing other shit, traveling now, I'm sure, so. He doesn't want to do that. I mentioned earlier the water temperatures in Southern California have been insane. 3 weeks ago, the water was 58 here in Orange County. Then like a week ago, it warmed up to like 76 for like 4 or 5 days or almost a week. Then it got windy and then it dropped down to like, yesterday it was like 68. Today it was like 62 at the pier. So we've had like 15 degree fluctuations. I don't know if that's global warming, a harbinger of the coming apocalypse, or just it is what it is. But I'll tell you the secret, guys. I'd prefer that it get as cold as possible. Not 58, but if it would drop down to 59, even 60, 58 is just a little too cold. 60. If it would just drop to 60 and stay that way, I'm totally fine. That is, 60 is great, and especially in the summer, you can wear like your shittiest 3-2 wetsuit, full suit, and you're fine. Wear a short arm if you want to push your limits, in the middle of the day when it's warm. If you wear a good fucking 3-2, you're almost too warm in that in the summer. But 60 is where it's at. You can use green sex wax as a base and then purple on top for some gription, you know, whatnot. But anything over 70 is just bullshit, because then you can't wear like a short arm full or a long arm spring for rash and sun protection. So I trunked it for like a week straight, and I just shredded my knees, my thighs, my inner thighs, the back of my thighs, my stomach, my nipples. Had ball rash for a day or two, which is super gross. I'm sorry to bring that up. That's when you need to wear the wetsuit, when you get ball rash, because it's just too painful. Or nipple and stomach rash are bad too. You got to jump in the wetsuit. But it was like 76. It was too warm to wear a wetsuit. And then you wear a wetsuit, you look like a fucking, like some freak. And I mean, I'm old man. What do I care what I look like to other people? But to what I look like to myself, guys. What I look like to myself is, no, that's not important either. It's too warm to wear a wetsuit. So water's bouncing all over the place, driving me bonkers. What's the water like where you're living right now? Leave us a comment in the Instagram or Facebook or wherever you leave comments, and we'll do like a water poll. I don't know. That's weird. Do it, but don't do it. Okay. We're going to get to our question. We have a Cyril, a guy from New Zealand, says he gets kicked out of the podcast. Thank you very much. And he sent us a very long message, you know, DM it on Instagram asking a couple questions about crowds. If you follow the Surfing Podcast on Instagram, you'll know that last weekend on Saturday morning, I woke up early. I woke up like at 6:30 or 7, my kid, and I puttered around the house. I'm like, well, you know what? It's glassy. The water's warm. It's going to be so crowded because it's Saturday. I'm going to go surfing now at 7:30. And of course, I don't get out of the house till 8 because my kid's making me make breakfast and dig around and shit. And I get in the water like 8:15. But I'm like, I'm going to go surfing now. I'm going to just pull this Band-Aid off now, you know, rip the scab off. I want to surf today. I don't want to not surf, but I don't want to wait and dick around and surf at like 10, 11, 12 when it's going to be maximum crowded, or like 1 or 2 when it starts to blow out and it's crowded, or 4 to 5 when it's too blown out to be in high tide to be surfable, but I surf anyway and then I'm miserable. So I paddle out, and I shit you not, that Saturday morning was the most crowded and eggiest I've ever seen both sides of the pier be at the same time in one session in quite a long time. Normally, north side is the eggy side because that's all the older, grumblier, like gruff locals that are like all like me. Like their bodies are falling apart. They don't surf a tenth as good as they used to, and they're still trying to hold on to that flame. And then there's like grommets, and then that's where all the Barneys on like Wave Storms and Hayden Shapes and the fucking fish beards go now. So it's just north side's a fucking knife fight. It's just clusterfuck, and guys think they're going to get that south swell pier bowl next to the pier, like barreling left or right, that like a miniature lowers right. That doesn't exist, guys. It's a fucking fantasy. So I'm like, I'm going to paddle the south side as I paddle out. I cut through the pier, I paddle the south side. South side is just as packed, just as many wave storms and goofballs and dipshits and whatnot. And then you also, south side is where the whole fucking Orange County Hurley team always surfs. And they're all nice kids. It's like Brett Simpson's usually there coaching him, and Ryan Simmons coaches some of the kids too. I don't know if it's for the Hurley or whatever. But most of the kids that ride for Hurley that live and breathe in about Orange County, north of San Clemente, surf south side in the mornings is like their workout. They're really nice kids. They don't snake kids, or they don't snake you or weasel you. They just paddle faster, and surf better than you do. So they'll take off deeper and make sections you can't make. And it's very frustrating because it's like they're not being jerks. They're just catching a bunch of waves because they're fucking wave catching machines. So it's those guys, and they've even been pushed down the beach because they're you can see they're like avoiding this crowd that I'm paddling out through. So I sit like a little bit south of the pier, like one and not the first peak next to the pier, but 1.5 peaks over. I'm kind of in the in-between land between the first and second peak next to the pier because I'm going to try and get a middle wave. And it's not big. It's like 2 to 4 feet, like 4.5 foot in the sets, you know, shoulder high maybe. It's faces, not Hawaiian guys. It's not 8 foot. So I've been out for like 10 minutes. The sets are coming through. The sets are pretty walled, all right? The sets are walled, and they're usually like 1 or 2 waves at the most because it's a weak south swell. There's nothing. I see a set. I see it's walled. I'm in between two peaks. I look down the beach. Nobody goes down the beach for like 100 yards. Like the people, like it's all beginners. They all paddled and could get it. And one guy that rips, like I can see way down the beach went right. So he's gone. And this thing's like rifling like sideways down the beach, like a left. It's like basically a closeout. But if you take off at an angle, you might be able to do like a late floater or something. So I start paddling. But then there's someone on the shoulder like 20 feet to my right. And I'm like, oh, fuck it. So I stop paddling. And then I start paddling again. So I'm taking off on it late because the guy doesn't go. He's like on a wave storm or I don't know what the fuck he's on, some goofball board. So I start paddling for it late. I paddle late. I'm at an angle. And it's like I'm looking over my shoulder, but not because I was looking more right before I started paddling. So now I'm like looking left because I don't care because I have priority because I'm deepest and it's a closeout and these idiots out there aren't going to go. I look, and as I catch the wave and I'm late and I kind of stand up like it's like my first wave. I'm kind of like haven't stood up on a wave yet and I'm kind of eggy and whatever. I stand up and I'm kind of standing and I notice like as I make it like halfway down the face that it's going to close out, but I'm at an angle and I'm like, I can't even get a closeout hit, but I'm going left at an angle and I'm just going to kind of straighten out, but going left. I look and there's a guy in the lip and I'm like, there's no fucking way. There's no way. And I see a Channel Islands logo on the board. I'm like, this guy's somebody on a Channel Islands. This probably knows what they're doing, right? Huh? Jesus Christ, please come down. Tell me. Give me. Yeah. I'm praying to God at this point. Like, please, like Buddha, anybody come down and let me know if I'm going to die. Guy's in the lip. I'm like, there's no way. Well, he's going to go over the falls. I'm going left to go around. Nope. This guy gives it the junior college try and does like two extra like double arm paddles and catches the wave. And I'm like, oh, he's going to stand up and like take off into me. We'll probably crisscross, whatever. I can either straighten up or try and race past him. I'm like, I'm going to race past him because he's standing up. It's going to like make him stall. He's not going to, you know, whatever. Long story short, this fucking guy catches the wave. And then pops up to both knees. He takes off on that wave in front of me as I'm dropping halfway down the face, you know, at a weird angle, standing up way too, I'm standing up like real straight, like twice as straight. And my knees are barely even bent at all because I'm like basically straightening out an angle because I already know that I've caught a fucking closeout. And this guy drops in on his knees, like his knees parallel, like not like knees, like he's like trying to stand up. Like he was going to his knees like a knee boarder would be riding a wave normally. That was going to be his whole stance for this wave. So I'm just like, what the fuck? Because I'm standing up too tall to like even kind of like squat down quick enough to turn or pivot or straighten out. And it's unexpected to say the least. So I just kind of go straight and like and I'm accosted. The guy is bored, shoots down. He like falls. His board shoots out from under him at the bottom of the wave and then shoots under my board and like knocks me off. You can see it on the I put it on the Instagram. It's a very embarrassing clip for so many reasons. And then our boards instantly become tangled. And I was like, Once the guy fell on his board shot under me, I knew what was going to happen. I was like, fuck, this is, I was immediately thinking tangled. So once I fall like on my back, I kind of blorp over sideways with momentum, I pull under and just immediately swim down and take my leash off. Cause I'm like, I'm not going to be twisted to this guy for like the set of the goddamn day, you know, like 20 wave shoulder I set, take my leash off and I swim up. And I'm just pissed. This guy has got a fucking tattoo across his back of his last name. Little tip for you people. Tattoo across your fucking back or chest isn't a force field. Doesn't make you tough. Doesn't make you surf good. Learned all these things. I come up and I'm like, what the fuck? Because the guy's like, he's not like a kid. He's not in his teens. He's like 25 to 30. He's like a 27-year-old man who fucking did this. I'm like, you know, I'm like, what the fuck? Why would you fucking do that? And I grab his board because it's like in my face bobbing. His fins are in my fucking eyes. I grab his board with the fins and I'm like, oh, I want to break his fucking fins off. And I look and I flex them and they're like plastic fins. And I realize this guy isn't on his brand new Channel Islands. This guy is on one of those piece of shit Channel Islands, like pop out fucking boards from rented up the street with like plastic fins, which is good because then none of it dinged my board, thank God. But I did get a pretty heavy Chinese wax job on the bottom. So I gather board. I'm like, fucking go in or I'm going to fucking punch you. And full disclosure, I'm not trying to punch anyone. I'm not going to punch this guy, but I'm so fucking mad. I yelled at him. He was like, I will. I'm going in. And I was like, oh, cool. I yelled at another person enough to make them go in. One less person. But I don't know. He goes in. I paddle back out. My sleeve on my wetsuit's all fucking up because I did wear a wetsuit because I had a rash. And then I just put my leash back on and then I just sit there for an hour and 40 minutes and sit and catch like three waves, like two straights, you know, or three waves total, like two closeouts that I just go straight on because they're closeouts and then like three actual waves. One with the guy in front of me I had to call off and then two with one guy on the shoulder I called off first turn. And then the third one I got to myself and it was nothing. I just sat. But everyone was sitting. It was so bad that Brett Simpson came out, who's like the king and the mayor and the greatest surfer in Huntington, you know, ever. And he still surfs just pretty much just as good as he did when he was on the tour a few years ago. He got one left where he cleared like a 50-yard section of closeout, like one pump, highlines it, you know, perfect style, timing, trim, grace, whatever. Goes up to float the end closeout section, which would have been probably going to dumb down in air, but I think he's going to float it. And then you see him kick out because there's a dude laying sideways, like a 30-year-old man laying sideways on like a wave storm right where he would have landed. And he's just like, and Brett's like a super positive human being. He's like, oh, just kind of laughed it off. Like, oh, buddy, you're in a place that's that, you know, and it paddles off. But he paddled down the beach and all the kids that were out, like no one was catching waves. And when waves came, everyone was snaking each other. It was fucking awful. So the reason I tell that story is because, one, I'm an idiot and I should have just stayed home or waited and surfed. I could have surfed somewhere else, but I like looked at the – I really did. I looked at the cams up and down like the beach in Huntington, Newport. Everywhere, even 17th and Golden West, the places that aren't as crowded, look crowded. Like all the places look like there's 40 or 50 people out. I should have just called it a day or went out and paddled even further down the beach. I posted up on Southside because I thought it was the lesser of two evils and I got what I got. What I got was nothing. I got a bunch of bullshit. But that's back to Cyril from New Zealand's question. He's asking about the pandemic, about surf travel, what I think will happen. With surf travel, I think it's going to be like this. Well, people that were like wanderers, you know, like that wandered, there's less wandering to do because, fuck, Americans can't travel their passport right now anyway because we're diseased idiots that can't handle a pandemic and are about to have a fucking, you know, a QAnon-based fucking, you know, Reddit civil war, which is great. Champions that we are. Genius people. But I think that that's like one side. Wandering is kind of fucked because you can't really wander where you want. But I think the other side of that is people that are young, like 19 to 20-year-old to 30-year-old people that are you know, single people that are wandering or even couples, I think they'll be like, fuck it. Why buy a house? Why pay a rent? I'm going to wander more. Like you see, like in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, those van conversions, being living out of a van, and the surf van thing and doing surf travels, people doing that more and more and more. I don't see why that trend wouldn't continue. The reason being, and I don't mean living out of a van, like that's just like being peripatetic and like, you know, wandering and not having a fixed address, or people that want to surf. I know a couple of guys surf the pier that are talking about moving to Bali because they're like, fuck it, why not? There's nothing else to do. There's nothing here, which is a sad commentary on our society right now. But also I know guys that, like, you know, I've been doing the van stuff. And the other day I was thinking about that. Like, I'm here recording this here at our comedy theater, which is like a small, like, you know, 1,400 square foot, whatever the fuck it is, theater, like in a strip mall. It's like a space. It's a strip mall space, whatever. So we turned into a comedy theater. Then I was dormant because we can't have fucking any live things here because everyone will get sick. I was thinking, if I was like 25 or 30 and single, you know, I'm much older and I'm married and have a kid and a house and a wife and all that shit, I would have no problem paying the rent on this place and then just getting like a small RV and living in the fucking RV. Like, because you can figure out places to dry camp or park or whatever. Fuck, cut a deal with the landlord, live in the goddamn parking lot and dump your sewage at like Walmart or, you know, wherever. There's place, like Bolsa Chica, if you have a state pass, there's a Blackwater dump, Black and Graywater RV sewage dumping place at the beach. You get in line on the cars and you can dump it there. But I would have an RV, an electric bike, and I would run this place and the way I, you know, run it, but I wouldn't have a house or anything. I would do that in a second, because you can get a used RV for fucking, I mean, cheap. Like, you could, for under, like, for less than a fully like tricked out Honda Accord and much less than a really nice Tacoma or Ford truck, you know, you can probably get a used RV for 30 or 40 grand. And that's a truck. Dude, we went looking at truck. My mom was going to buy an RV at the beginning of this, like 6 months ago, when she was looking at RVs first, she was going to get a truck and a travel trailer. I went with her to look at new trucks, and new trucks are not cheap. They're 30 grand barely gets you a truck. And if you're trying to get something that will tow something like a travel trailer, it's, you know, trucks go 40 50 grand and above. I was blown away that those Jeeps, like Jeep Wranglers, like, you know, like a Jeep, the open air Jeeps, those things go up to like 70 grand because they put big tires and bullshit on them. Like, who in the fuck is paying 70 grand for a fucking Jeep? I don't know, spoiled rich dumb people in Orange County apparently. But yeah, so if you see a person in a giant Jeep at a red light or at a surf spot, you're like, that guy spent 70 grand on the dumbest thing in the world. But yeah, so that's my thing. I was like, the wandering is like a lot more difficult and there's less places you can go to. But I think the hardcore people that want to just surf travel and just do that, and especially if you're young and single, there's all the reason. The fucking, here's a clusterfuck. I'm sure other places in the world are a clusterfuck. Yeah, why not travel? And if I lived in America, I would absolutely fucking convert a van and just for the next 2 or 3 years live out of it. Because one, it's like there's not much else going the fuck on. You can take school online from your van or work online, you know, live in your fucking van online, you know, have the same job you're gonna have from a fucking van if you don't have a full-blown career where you have to wear a suit every day. And two, it's like, Jesus Christ, we might be in Thunderdome in 6 months or less. So you fucking put some spikes on that van and a thing that shoots, you know, a flamethrower on the front, you're fucking good to go. And fucking, you know, bulletproof that thing with some fucking, you know, take the Kevlar knees off of discarded wetsuits that you find, I don't know, the trash behind like surf shops or something, and you just fucking, you nail gun the Kevlar pads to your fucking van. It's bulletproof, dude, right there. There you go. You got a bulletproof flamethrower van and you're surfing. You're going places. You're living your life, living the dream. So that's the first half of Cyril's question. The second half is, do I think that localism is going to get more or less gnarly? I just posted a link from, I think it was from Tracks Magazine on the Surfing Podcast Facebook page. It was basically, and Stab had an article this week too about the surf COVIDians. Basically people, everybody, when COVID started back in March here in America, or wherever the fuck you live, are trying to live. God, we're all just trying to live. We're just trying to get through this, right? Is it just me? Anyway. When it started, a lot of people took up outdoor fucking hobbies that weren't doing outdoor hobbies because you couldn't go to the gym anymore and you couldn't do other, like you weren't working at an office and you wanted to get out of your fucking house because you're in goddamn house so much. And unfortunately, people took up surfing. There were a bunch, I mean, the Wave Storm boom, the Hayden Shape style board boom, the, you know, the fun boards, the whatever. like read online that the wetsuits and surfboards sold the fuck out. No one was buying surf wear or surf gear or surf clothing. They give a fuck about that. But wetsuits and surfboards were sold out. Like, I'm trying to get my boards off Tim Stamps, and he's had, you know, I'd spent almost fucking 2 months, and usually his turnaround on boards for me is like at the longest 2 months, and I haven't heard from this week yet. Like, it's way far out, because he said, dude, he's just drowning in orders. And I'm like, dude, take your time. They're fucking recreational fucking flotation devices for me. They're not, I'm not in the goddamn tour trying to win an oversized check and a hand job from a chick in a bikini. So my point is, surfing got popular, and there's a bunch more people. And like 3 months ago, like after the, or 2 months ago, when the first couple months of COVID kind of won't, like right when the things started open up here in California, it got real crowded, because I think a lot of people were like me. The first few months of the quarantine were being super, super conscientious and really, God bless us all, and really strict about it. And I was trying not to surf. I know there's people surfing every day. I would only surf in the afternoons when it was shitty and blown out and there was no one out, because I didn't want a fucking chance. Going out was crowded. No one was really sure how fucking contagious it was or whatever. And luckily, it looks like in the water, hopefully, and I'm not a doctor, so I don't know if this is true, but fuck, I don't want to say it, because I sound like a fucking idiot and give you bad advice. But it doesn't seem like it's super contagious if you're in the water surfing, and surfing, you're far enough apart. Even when you're not 6 feet apart, you're fucking in the ocean and there's a breeze usually and it's fresh air. So it's one of the safer things, you know, I think. I don't fucking know, but I don't know anybody that's got COVID from that got COVID from surfing, so that I can tell. So, but what I'm saying is, I took, like, you know, I just stayed home for 2 or 3 months and got fat and watched TV and played with my kid and, you know, did nothing, watched Netflix and, you know, played board games with my family and surfed very little. But at that 3 month mark, dude, the water exploded and there was people all over. So now we're a few months, 2 or 3 months past that 3 month mark. It dipped off a little bit, but when the water got warm, it was super crowded, because then all the dipshits that were surfers that only surfed twice a year came out, oh, the water's 75, I gotta go surf and be an idiot. I'm trying to phrase it this way. Like, I think it's like this. There are a bunch of new surfers 3 months ago and they're still floating around or whatever. And it's, but we're 6 month mark and we're in the middle of summer here in California and it's warm and the waves have been really small all summer. We haven't had a really big swell. We haven't had a swell over like 6.5 foot. You know what I mean? We haven't had like an 8 foot, like solid south swell that makes a current and makes it closed out and makes it fucked up and makes, you know, dorks scared to go out when 8 foot Californian is not. It's not the greatest. You don't want to go over backwards over the falls of your leash around your neck, sitting on your fins, but you're probably not going to fucking die in those size waves unless several things go awry. So what I'm thinking is surfing is hard. It's going to be fucked up, but in another, like by the end of the year and by like, fuck, the water stays here warm here so long now. By the time the water gets cold, the first 2 weeks the water gets cold in the winter and the mornings are cold when it's like, you know, 50 degrees or below in the morning and the water's like, you know, 60 or below, that will shut off some people real quick, because surfing's hard. And when you're just learning, the first 6 months suck because you're just in whitewash and jumping over whitewash and falling down a lot. When you're jumping over whitewash and falling down in a full suit and you need the full suit because the water's cold and it's cold in the morning, that shit gets stale real quick. And people just won't, the casual surfers won't stay with it. And I'll give you a prediction. I'm guessing come Christmas time this year or spring next year, there is going to be a fucking bonanza of super new, barely used surfboards on fucking Craigslist. You should and offer up and all that shit online, being sold that you should scoop up. Like, I think all these ding dongs that are buying fish beards and Hayden shapes and seasides and all the trendy cool summer boards and the CI mid length, which is the CI mid length is basically a fucking fun board that Channel Islands rebranded. It is. It's a fucking fun board. And it's $1,200. It's a wave storm that costs $1,200 and gives dings. That's all it is. I'm sorry. Someone had to fucking say it. Just if you want to fucking get a longboard, get a longboard. But don't get a $1,200 mid-length, you fucking idiot. Like, you're not... The ads for that board are all dudes in Indo getting fucking endless barrels. You're not going to get that endless barrel in Indo or anywhere else. Just get a used longboard and don't surf the pier. That's my advice. But my point is, jokes aside, I think we're going to have an influx of a bunch of people. And I think a bunch of the Tracks article and the Stab article is the same way, as like, they were like, hey, it sucks, but take it with a grain of salt, because then it'll make surfing popular, at least where people will spend money and maybe the WSL won't die and the surf industry will make it through this portion, which I don't really give a shit about either way. But I think there's going to be a learning curve. And I think that people are just going to have to learn. Like, I barked at the guy the other day and said, fucking go in or I'm going to kill you. Although I wouldn't really kill him. I'm not a monster. But lately I've had dudes paddle in front of me or try and back paddle me or bail their board in front of me. And I am usually very mellow and very friendly and give people waves and try and not be a fucking asshole all the time. A couple of years ago, when it was less crowded, it was more aggressive people. Yeah, it was more dickish. But this year has been hard on everyone. So I really do try to approach people with some empathy and, you know, grain of salt, whatever. But yeah, I will tell guys, like, hey, if you're going to bail your board, look behind you because people don't know. And, you know, you can usually tell someone's going to bail their board. So you shouldn't be paddling by them anyway. But this morning there was this guy back paddling everybody. And he was on like a rental, like it looked like a rental, like Firewire, like a 6'2", like 20 inches wide. But the guy could stand up on waves. So he wasn't brand new. And he was back paddling everybody. He did it to me. And they did it to a buddy of mine. And a buddy of mine said, hey, man, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but please don't do that. Like, you're back paddling. I was on the peak, and then you try to swoop underneath me, and then like kind of got in front of me where I couldn't catch the wave. And that's just not a thing. Don't do that. It's like, it's a really bad thing. Don't do it. And then the guy did this thing that drives me insane. He did the thing like where he smiled, like just smiled all the time, like tried like, oh, kill him with kindness and pretend like he didn't know what was going on. And my friend's like, dude, you know what's going on. You know you did that. And the guy's like, oh, I just trying to get waves, bro. Just trying, like, just being nice. So I was paddling out. So I paddled over, and I was like, and one of the older locals like, yeah, go get him. Like, I'm not going to go get him. Like, I paddled over. I'm like, dude, you did the exact same thing to me 10 minutes ago. I didn't say anything because I was just giving you the benefit of the doubt. And no one out here is threatening you in any way. You're in no danger. Like, it's just a dick thing that you're doing. And he's very nicely trying to tell you what to do. Just don't do that. And he's like, you guys are harassing me. The guy said that. I was like, fuck it. I was like, that's it. I'm like, dude, you know what you're doing. Please stop. And then my friend tried to go on and go, see, it's the way the positioning is, how it works is there's like a top of a like he's trying to be really nice and give this guy a tutorial on like how a peak works. And the guy knows and he's just being a twat. And then I was going to paddle down the beach or around them and go over. And I paddled by and I go, you know what? Long story short, he's really nice. I'm a fucking asshole. Don't even sit by me. And then I paddled off because I'm not going to do anything to the guy, but I'm just telling him, don't fucking sit by me. But my point is, I think it's going to take all of us people who surf like shit, but at least know the rules of surfing, to just be patient with new people. If you see a guy paddling out with his legs, or a girl, or anyone, with their legs spread apart and way too far up, or way too far back, or way too far up, doing a wheelie on their board, paddling with their fingers open, and there's a set coming, you know they're going to bail their board. Get the fuck, you know, like paddle away from them, paddle sideways. Don't you? If you have to duck dive a part of the wave that's breaking, do that. Get your hair wet. I'm sorry. Look down the line. If you see someone paddling two arms at a time on a fucking rental Channel Islands, maybe look a little bit more and realize that they're going to fucking, you know, go over the falls on you. And straighten out. Don't let them run into you. Straighten out and then explain it to them the best way that you can, or choose to paddle away. But yeah, I think it's going to get eggy and super localized. There's going to be flare-ups of people yelling and freaking out and whatever because people are stressed out and tired and COVID and all this stuff. But I really do think, as far as I know, most of the guys that are locals that surf where I, like all the places I surf, are actually super, there's a couple eggy dickheads like me that are older than me and bitter and creepy and whatever. And I try to be as unbitter and as uncreepy as I can, as often as I can. I told a grommet today, hey, snake me on every wave that you want. He's a little kid who went to drop in on me and then pulled back. I'm like, dude, take every wave you want. In 6 months when you grow, you can't do that anymore. I'll tell you when. Fine, you know, like joking, but like, yeah, tell grommets. I try and let grommets go and people I know go and newbies go on waves and stuff like that and not get too mad at people. But I think it's just going to be a learning curve. I think there's going to be people that are like, it's like, you know, there's idiots out there, like their moment to shine, like, oh, finally, I get to fucking be a local and yell at fucking people and probably get in a fight. And they're like, there's those people in every environment and sport and activity and the fucking, there's guys that get in fights at fucking gyms. Who's getting in the fight? You fucking took in the bench press thing too long. That's my barbell. You know, like, I've seen guys get in fights at a fucking gym, which is it's inanimate objects. What do you, Jesus fuck. But yeah, I think it's going to be that. I think there's going to be flare-ups, and I think there's going to be time where all of our patients are tried. Like when I yell at the guy, I was going to punch his face, which I wasn't, but I was very angry. But we all have to just try and do better. Honestly, my friend Marty, the Marty that works over at Jack's, is the man, one of the managers over there, was like, dude, he's fascinated by people that he'll see out more than once doing the same shit over and over, and especially when they're older and should know better. And he's like, why aren't they working to try and become a better person? Like, that's really the only goal of life. You should wake up every morning and be like, how can I try and be better? And not better like, oh, I'm bigger or stronger or richer, my dick's huger. You know, I mean, like, better. How can I not make the same mistakes I made yesterday? How can I make a more positive change or at least influence in the world? How can I just, you know, like that's, and how can I, like, how can I surf better, catch better waves, you know, catch more waves, but, you know, my own waves and do better turns? But also, how can I just be a better influence in the water? And I think that's honestly coming from the most negative dickhead idiot in the world. It should mean a lot. I think it's really for the rest of the year and for God fucking knows how long, we all just have to do that. If you're a good surfer or like an experienced surfer, I should say, because I'm an experienced surfer. I'm by no means a good surfer. You just got to have a grain of salt. And when you have a chance to educate or help someone out, help them out. Don't give them a fucking lecture or a class or a PowerPoint or a TED Talk, but just be like, hey, that's not real cool. And if the guy's a dickhead, they're like, well, if you're going to be a dickhead, good luck to you, because there's always a local or a surfer or a guy out there who's a bigger local, stronger, meaner, tougher, more of a fuckface, more of a chip on a shoulder. That idiot that did some stupid thing to you is going to do that to somebody much meaner than fucking you are and much burlier and more violent than you are. And if they don't want to take your friendly advice and they want to go fucking stumble upon that human landmine that beats the shit out of them or yells and flips out at them or whatever, let those two people find each other, because the universe, they're meant for each other, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So that's my take on it. Like I said, I'm not the smartest guy, but I've been around a while. I'm old as fuck, so I kind of know. All right, that does it for this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, please subscribe. If you like the show, tell your friends about it. Be like, hey, this fucking creepy dude who surfs Orange County has a podcast that he talks about stuff on that you might enjoy. I am working towards the tutorial videos for the ding repair, some simple ones. I also have some other stuff that's surf related and some interviews and stuff that I'm lining up. So please tune in. Like I said, this is the second week in a row we've had back-to-back episodes. I'm going to try and get this thing weekly. If we get another episode out next week, I will launch the Patreon next week. We do 3 weeks in a row of new shows. The Patreon for the show will launch. As well, I'll get some merch. I don't know what's up with Anthony. He hasn't emailed me back in a week. I don't know if he's working on that logo. But if I don't hear back from him, I will make some type of logo and at least do a t-shirt that we can do. We can all wear it together. It'll be a very simple design because I can neither draw nor am I very bright. For the Surfing Podcast, I've been Dan Bylock. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great week, great month, great year. Hope things are going well for you. Remember to be nice, be upbeat, be happy. Don't let the bastards grind you down. And catch some waves. And if you can, share some waves and some feelings. Talk to you soon. Bye.